Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Welcome to You're Gonna Know, Commander's Justice, the sports game show to test your knowledge of the upcoming game while defending your belief in your team's ability to win. Our job is to prove you wrong and explain why we think the Commanders will prevail. My name is Ken Harvey. I'm one of the judges, four-time Pro Bowler, and in the Washington Ring of Fame. Judge Marnie Snyder, the daughter of the first female GM of a team in the NFL, Susan Spencer, and the granddaughter of former Eagles owner Leonard Tose. Judge John Booty, NFL legend, defensive back playing for the New York Jets, the Eagles, Cardinals, Giants, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're your judges, and welcome to You're Gonna Know, Commander's Justice.
Hey, welcome back to You're Gonna Know, Commander's Justice. And I don't know, I shouldn't even talk anymore. I should just play a tape recorder to just say, hey, we lost again, and our team sucks. And so it's becoming so normal. It's affecting everything. You know, you get the trickle down effect to where the team is losing and you feel like they're not putting their effort. Then all the things that are surrounding, and you have to fight to say, I got to keep fighting. I got to keep making this show well. I got to keep going on. And you have to really put forth the effort. And sometimes you wonder if that's what players are doing, or you just clicking and waiting for the time to run out and the season to be over. Some people do, and some don't. Some know that this is their job that's on the line. Some know that this is their job, they're interviewing for a new job. And some people, this may be the last time they play in the NFL. And so this is kind of where the Commanders are at, getting beat again. And it's not so much getting beat again, it's getting beat how they've been getting beat, that's really been kind of sad in this area. So enough of last week, other than we had the bet, and I think Marnie was supposed to come with her look with her tattoo, and she forgot. And so she's going to have to do it again, right, Judge Marnie?
I'm ready for the, for whatever it is, I will do it. I did not get my fake tattoo for this week, so I will do that. And then if there's another task for next week, I will double down and get that done as well.
Well, okay, one thing though, real quick, it's not a fake tattoo, this is legit.
No, I told you I'm gonna do a teardrop, and then you guys were like, wow, you really went super aggressive with that.
So yeah. She was concentrating on the sponsors. That's why she didn't do it. You know, she was just a little bit on the
other. John is a great teammate. Great segue in. Thank you for reminding me. Let's give a shout out to our sponsors who stayed with us throughout this year.
And yes. Thank you for that, sponsors.
Alice Extell Real Estate. As we've said, even though things are going the way they're going, if you have any real estate needs, whether it be buying, selling, or refurbishing your home, he is the guy in the DC metro area. And then PMSI, where PMSI is pest control. If there's some pests,
if there's pests around.
Yeah, they're pests around. They do pest control for it. The Baltimore Ravens Stadium, the Commander Stadium,
Capital One Arena,
different places. And so, if you need pest control, they are your company, and they will be fumigating the Commander's place at the end of the year, and getting rid of a lot of coaches as it goes. So, anybody got anything to say real quick before we introduce our guests? And Judge Marnie, we introduce our guests as we talk about the Commanders playing against the Jets. Anyway, judges, you got anything?
I got one thing to say. You know, I as a long-suffering Jet fan and player, it's going to be a tough game this week.
Tough for who? Tough to watch? Tough for?
Yeah, you know, the years I played in New York with the Jets, the fans are dedicated. Now, you're going to have some fans out there because the Jets are long-suffering Jet fans, but they just love the Jets. So they'll show up. Commander fans, I don't think they're going to show up because both teams are out of the playoffs, right? And yeah. So it's going to be tough to watch on TV.
Yeah. You know, I always record them because, you know, I may fall asleep. Maybe that's age. Maybe it's the game. Judge Martin, you want to introduce our guest?
Yes, I'm so excited. We have an amazing, amazing guest today. He is a dear friend of mine, and he played for the Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets, a graduate of University of Southern California, my dear friend, Patrick Turner. Yay, Patrick. Hello, also Patrick. Known as PT.
Wait. You went to USC? Right, Patrick?
I'm here. Did I freeze up?
Yeah, but you're good now. You went to USC?
Hey, guys. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm back.
Can you hear me real quick?
I can hear you.
Went to USC?
Yes.
So we're Pac-10 rivals.
Oh, yeah. You went to Cal.
Yeah. So Patrick is no longer going to be on the show this week.
So Patrick, when you played for the Jets, what years were that? I didn't catch it to you.
So I was drafted – I was drafted in 2010 to Miami Dolphins. Uh-huh. So I was there for a year, and then I played with the Jets. It was I was drafted in 2009, played with the Jets 2010 through 2012.
Okay. So the reason why I'm asking that question, because I was drafted 35 years ago with Ken Harvey, and we had a lineman from the USC named Dave Cadigan. And we had a secondary coach. His name was Mike Faulkner. Mike Faulkner, you don't know what's going to come out of his mouth. He said, oh, yes. Just one day he saw Dave Cadigan. He said, oh, yes, Dave Cadigan, USC, the University of Spoiled Children. Is that true?
I think it's true. I don't think we were spoiled. We had the same locker rooms going back to, you know, back in the 80s, I want to say. We weren't spoiled, but around all the student athletes, there was a sense of a spoiledness.
Yeah.
Kid families, all that stuff. Hey, Patrick, real quick. So you're I guess I don't know if it was before the time or not. You're like, how tall are you? You're pretty tall as a receiver. Yeah.
6'5". I'm about 225 pounds.
Man, that's pretty amazing. Was that something like you always wanted to do? Or did they try to move you to tight end or something like that with your height?
Yeah, I always wanted to play receiver. I knew, I remember being in high school, wanted to slow down the growing process because I thought I was about to be 6'8". And I knew there weren't any 6'8 receivers out there. But I ended up growing to be 6'5". My freshman year of high school, I was like 6'4", 185. Then by the end, I was 6'5", 212. You know, I had a lot of more physical roles as a receiver. When I played, you know, I would come down and hit the edge, the defensive end, or seal the linebacker. They had me doing a lot of things like that. So I was more of a physical presence, especially when I got into the NFL. And I played a lot of special teams under Mike Westhoff with the New York Jets. But it was something I always wanted to do. I really like Hines Ward, and I really like Marvin Harrison and Andre Johnson. Those were some of the guys I looked at, and Calvin Johnson.
Well, I know you've been great in the red zone.
Oh, yeah.
Just throw it up there. You know, Harold Carmichael was a 6'8 wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles back in the Stone Age. So he was able to make a lot of catches in the red zone. So
no doubt.
Do you think and coaches, knowing that you're tall and a big guy, it hindered your career in any way? Whereas, like sometimes people see a big guy – Or for me, example, you know, because I was fast, they wanted me to be a third down cover guy, but I wasn't a third down cover guy. I was a pass. I had to be something else. But a lot of coaches tried to stop me from that. Was that, you know, did that happen to you in your career?
Well, being a bigger guy, you know, I was out there to set a tone, essentially, for the receivers room in a way. And I feel like that potentially could have slowed me down somewhat. You know, I was having assignments, you know, where's the edge guy, you know, or got us like, you know, 6'3", 230 like yourself type of guy. So, that physicality, that may, having a longer body length, a big target, I feel like that may have slowed it down versus having more finesse, like a Randy Moss. I was a little thicker bone. They thought about pitting me on the edge of the line, but back in that time, there weren't a lot of stand up tight ends, and you kind of see the game evolve where guys kind of stand up a little more at the tight end position. And but I'm not gonna kid you. I didn't want any part of the trenches more than I already had assigned to me. And going in and getting the linebackers digging out safeties, and
You gotta watch
it
out for
was
those pesky safeties and corners too, because you get told target, they're trying to cut you.
Oh yeah, every time, no question. Yeah, definitely ran into that. But yeah, I took pride in blocking.
Okay, well,
I definitely took pride in that, and blocking for guys like LaDainian Tomlinson and Joe McKnight and Chauncey Washington in college, all those guys, Sean Green. Yeah, I took pride in blocking, and that kind of bled into special teams. I enjoyed that role.
Well, I think that's probably key. And as we talk about these two teams, you got two losing teams. The Panthers with a 4-10 record, the Jets with 5-9. Pride right now is pretty much one of the few things that they have left to play for. Have you been, I mean, as a former football player, how far do you think pride to get you? Like, is that a big key? Like, when you start coming to the end, and as we're even talking about with this show, what we have is left is pride to do this show right. When you start going towards the end, it almost sometimes you feel like, God, why am I doing this? You're a man, you're in a position, you didn't get probably the fame that you wanted, being the receiver that you wanted. How hard was it to motivate yourself every day to keep playing and keep going on?
Well, I genuinely love the game, and Taurus, when it's when the team's losing, and you're not probably getting the ball as much as you want to, you take pride in what you're putting on film every day. You take pride in your approach. You still, you may not be getting the results, but you still have to stay true to the discipline. Take pride in your discipline, take pride in your preparation, and you take pride in doing your assignment correctly for the guys who are there and aren't there. And that's what'll keep you going. And a lot of guys are going to get a lot of good looks and opportunities at the end of the season who wouldn't normally get those looks, who've been there all season, all camp, So that's, you see a lot of underdog stories in the NFL. So a lot of underdogs may flourish or come out, or at least get a chance out there and show what they could do to the coaching staff and other coaching staffs. But I just took pride in not, nobody's giving up. I feel like 100% of the football players, especially at the top tier, nobody's 100% healthy.
Right.
So
Okay.
it's just
So
it's a
Patrick.
dog in you to keep going no matter
Sure.
how you're affected.
John, let me go to break real quick, and then I'll let you come back and ask your questions. Is that okay, or is it something you want to jump out real quick?
You're in control, Chief.
All right. Well, hey, let's take some pride in our sponsors and go to break real quick, and then we'll come back. And Judge Martin, you can take over and tell me to shut up, and John has a question.
Just keep doing like this, Judge. Just keep
So
it.
we're gonna go to, and yeah, those flags and all that stuff. All right, we'll be.
We have a red flag around here somewhere.
And welcome back to Commander's Justice. You're gonna know, sponsored by Alex Estill Real Estate and PMSI for all your pest control in the DMV. All right, so John, I know you have an important question for Patrick, so I'm gonna pass the ball to you, and then I'm gonna jump in because I have more questions for Patrick too.
Caught it, Ken. Hey, Patrick, I was just asking, you said you played back in with Tomlinson, LaDainian Tomlinson. You guys did make the playoffs back then,
We
right?
did.
Yeah,
We
so.
did. That was the when Bart Scott, what is it, can't wait, that
Can't wait, yeah.
during that whole span, Rex Ryan.
Right. So you've had the Buddy Ryan, Rex Ryan experience.
Oh, yeah.
And let's go get some ice cream or some ice cream. Let's go get something that he would always say at the end.
Oh, yeah.
You can say it, but leave out the word of what. Let's go get some whatever.
I think it was an F-bomb.
Yeah, it was an F-bomb. Right?
It's like at the end of the day.
Yeah, end of the day. Yeah, so those experiences that you know that the Jets can do it, can
for sure
prevail, because you talked about pride, your self-pride, you got self-motivation. Let's just expound on how it was with playing with that team coming close or making it to the playoffs.
We really had a tough team. We had legends on the team. It felt like, you know, it was Plaxico's and Derek Mason's and older guys, Bart Scott. Could you repeat that question again?
Expound on playing on that team.
That
and
team.
You had a young quarterback in Sanchez, right. too, right?
Right, right.
How
so
was
yeah,
experience?
Coming close, yeah, we felt like we were on our way that whole time. It felt like we had depth as well. We had older leadership, like another legend, Mark Brunell. He was on that team. So you know, practices were intense, and it was a sense that the defense, they were kind of propping us up a little bit, you know. But I mean, when you come that close, it's tough, and it's a dog fight the whole way. We really came close. It was tough. It was a great experience, great journey, but it was tough. And there was a lot of tough guys on that team to come so close.
Last one, Martin, you said something key. You said it was tough. And I was getting to talk about practices was tough because back
yeah.
then we could hit. Now it's not like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were definitely – I accidentally broke someone's leg in practice.
Whoa, Ken Harvey, watch out.
My own teammate. It was we ran into each other, and but we really did practice hard, and it was a scrap every day. Sometimes it was a sometimes a fight.
Right. You know, that happens.
Be quiet. I was trying to jump in real quick because with the Commanders in the beginning of the season, one of the big things they had was that the players were saying that practice was too hard, and that kind of made its round with the media that. Players were complaining that practice was too hard. And it's in our minds, you know, we've talked about it a lot. It's kind of crazy to think that players would complain about that. So, yeah, maybe that's why a team wins is practicing hard.
Yeah. And then I know for myself, with the DBs we had two really good DBs, and I was the person giving them a look. And
was it Cromartie?
So Cromartie and Revis. It's like, you know, so it's like I had to have my stuff together going into practice because they were going to bring it and they were elite, you know. So, you know, I learned a lot through that experience. Even the guys under them, like Ellis Langster and a number of other guys. It was always high
octane, huh?
But yeah, it was. But we did have a lot of fun under Rex Ryan. He brings his own character to the game, and yeah, we had a great time working hard and, you know, having fun at the same time. But we couldn't seal the deal on where we wanted to. But yeah, I wouldn't change the experience. And it's a great organization, and they give the guys what they need in order to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
It was an interesting contrast from Miami to New York with the organization.
That's interesting.
You know?
Well,
yeah.
You know, I'd like to hear more about that, Patrick. And I know we talked, you know, we've had conversations. By the way, there's a great book out there, and Patrick is very humble. He won't talk about it necessarily, although he will, called Collision Low Crossers by this guy, Nick Dawadoff. And Mike Tannenbaum gave Nick an office at the New York Jets in the defensive coordinator's room for an entire year to follow everybody around. And and I was reading this book, and there was a paragraph in one of the chapters, and it mentioned how this very tall Abe Lincoln-esque wide receiver was the only guy to go head to head with Darrell Revis. And that happens to be Patrick Turner, our guest today. So, yeah. So, I was like, wait a minute. I know him. That's so cool. But Collision Low Crossers is a really cool book. But how How does the ownership, or how does the environment of, you know, like compare Miami, like the Miami situation versus New York? You know, I'd love to hear more about that.
Well, being drafted there, it almost felt like another Legends camp. Being drafted to Miami, you had Jason Taylor, and you have your, you know, Chad Pennington's, and Ricky Williams was even there at the time. But the overall organization, it felt like I was stepping back into the 80s a little bit.
Wait a minute, that makes sense. That hurts.
No, it was like raw and uncut. Bill Parcells, just like, you know, Tony Sperano, you know, he was, you know, offensive line type of minded coach. And it was just like, I'm talking about two-a-days Miami Heat. Like, I was complaining at that time. I was like, I'm getting new veins in my legs from the running. It's Miami. 8 a.m, you know, you touch your helmet, it's wet and it's not raining. You know, the humidity's off the chart. But it felt like with the organization, like with the coaches, staff and everything, it felt like it was an older, much older school mindset. Like we worked hard, you know, and it's like you're getting two bags of IVs, you know, but the two-a-days, you know, that's your advantage if you play for Miami. But if you're there, you're like, oh, man, this can't be healthy getting two IV bags, two practices with pads, you know, before the change with the CBA and all. So it was a real deal. And, you know, you come off the field and I'm telling you, it's a day that's not raining and your shoes are wet from just the sweat going down. But it was an old school, hard-nosed mentality. And then, you know, including the facilities and everything. And then once I went over to New York with Rex Ryan and that staff and everything, you know, you go to New York, the buildings were all, or the building's all glass, you know, fingerprint door, felt like new school NFL type of organization. You know, I'm sorry.
But, you know, you're talking to two old dudes here, but back in the 80s.
Yeah, mid-90s. But I'm giving you props. I'm giving you props.
But the deal is, I practiced over at Long Island and moved at Hempstead. And it was nothing compared to what it is now. And yeah. And it played at Marnie's old home, the Vet, at Philadelphia. So both were upgrades, tremendously upgraded.
And they, you know, yeah. The facilities were kind of night and day. But I feel like, you know, I almost felt like the facilities were too pretty. So, and I feel like that kind of messes with your psyche a little bit.
So you say you should walk in there with a business suit on every day. Suit and tie, you know, I'm going to work in the suit and tie. And
it almost felt like that, but I mean, too pretty, like as in
you had your own shelf and everything too, right? Right?
You kind of did. Yeah, they will make what you wanted. They would do that, and it almost. I feel like it kind of gives you that arrived feeling for some guys, and it kind of makes you a little more relaxed than when it's, you know, a little uglier, a little.
When I was a kid, sorry, going back to me, but I came home and I didn't have anything on my uniform and it wasn't dirty and I didn't feel like I did anything. I didn't want my parents to know that I want them to know that I played. So I ran and rent and put mud all on my jersey just to have that feeling like you did something. There's something to the psyche when you feel like you've been in a battle or
there's something about it,
right?
At USC, and I visited LSU, Tennessee, but the school I ended up committing to and going to was USC, and they had the worst locker room, the worst weight room.
Really?
Didn't compare to the LSU or the things I would see on brochures like at Auburn, or didn't compare at all, but it was something about it, you know.
We're just going by that mystique of the past.
It is the mystique of the past, and it's just like, it was something about that.
What about now? Sorry, Marty.
Oh, it's really nice now. You saw what happened when it got really nice. It got
yo, Jesus.
We started downhill. I feel like it's something about it. I don't know. I could be wrong, but
that's
a lot different, but you know, I just want to point out that contrast. And I don't know if you guys had any experience, but did you feel a lot different practicing on grass versus the turf? Because I know the turf, the next day, if you don't take an ice bath out the turf, you're not moving the same way. Or it's just like, the ground doesn't move the same, so your joints are that much more, inflamed.
I do remember practicing on grass all the time. Then we played a game at the Meadowlands. We hit that turf. And the next day, man, I had the shakes all day. I'm like, man,
It's
what in the
different.
world is going on with me from that grass transition to that turf? It took a whole day for my body. Fortunately, we had the day off after the game, and it took a whole day for my body to adjust to get ready for the next day.
I always felt quicker on turf than I did on, and it helped out my game and sometimes, just being able to plan cut real quick. So yeah, it's just me.
With the Jets versus Washington, I starkly remember being hit on the sideline by London Fletcher. It's probably one of the hardest hits I've ever felt.
Right.
We're
Was
backed
that
up.
at FedEx or it wasn't MetLife back then? It was still on Meadowlands back then, right?
It was MetLife. It was Meadowlands like my first year when I was in Miami, but then it was MetLife. But we were at Washington and I was with the Jets and we were backed up. It was like 3rd and 20, and we were just trying to create space. And Mark threw a quick, like one step, catch the ball route. I called it go up the left sideline. I make the cornerback miss. I go inside of him, then get back to the outside, and London Fletcher's coming from the inside out, and he catches me on the sideline. So I hope the Jets win.
Yeah,
Just for that hit, right?
it had me wobbly. That's one of those ones. And then I got another crazy feeling. So I got wobbly off of that. When you get hit hard, you pop up like nothing hurt. Like a boxer saying, "Come on," after you just got done. But then we had a chance to receive. I was on the hands team, so we had a onside kick to recover. So I was on the hands team and I got some payback to number 24, but I felt terrible immediately because when you hit somebody, that was the first time I ever hit somebody, and I was like,
Oh, so he had an
you get his
offensive
head on the
mentality,
ground
though.
and what's
Really?
that? What was that, Ken?
He
John?
felt
Oh.
bad for hitting somebody.
Yeah, when you see eyes roll and the head hit the ground, his feet slipped a little bit as I hit him, and he went straight back. That was probably one of the only times I was like, "Oh," right after, like, "Oh, whoa," like.
So you can play linebacker because that would be like that would get me pumped up. I'd be all geeked
Is
up.
that what you were looking for? You were looking
I do,
for.
man. I go back to the sideline.
How
Always,
back is it different, man?
I made him wet his pants, man. Oh,
Man, I had every intention. I had every intention. I was like, he's not getting me. I've already been got this game by, London Fletcher. They highlighted London Fletcher, on the game brochures. They had him, so yeah, he got me good. And I was like, they can't get me again. So I got a
But
good
believe you
shot.
me, we've all been got. I've been got. I know Ken probably had a crack back on him by a lineman or tight end that he didn't see. So hey, that happens in the game. But we feel bad for just a little bit. Then all of a sudden, hey, it's part of the game. I would say move the line, move the offense, move the defense down the field. Somebody get hurt.
True.
I laugh now, but now I'm hurting behind that stuff. So Judge Marty, I'm sorry. I
It's
manipulated
great.
you.
It's
I can
okay.
follow
I
you.
love to hear these stories. This is really such a wonderful journey for me. I really enjoy hearing you guys just speak about the things that you love, and that's so exciting to hear that. So I want to, hear more. I think we have to take a quick break, but then we're going to come back with more and spin the wheel because now that we know that Patrick is up for it, he's going to get a little spin the wheel challenge, and we'll come back in a few minutes. So thank you.
Hey, Marnie threw me a long pass during the break, man. I mean, it was like a 1,000-yard pass. She's all the way in North Carolina, and I'm here in Washington, D.C., and she threw this long pass, and I got it. I got it. This is sponsored by Alistair Stale, this Wheel of Justice. And Patrick said he is going to spin the wheel. You don't have to. He's a pro. He's a legend. But he said, hey, I want to do it. It's the Commanders and the Jets. And he told us a story about London Fletcher kind of doing something, giving him the business on the sideline. So he hopes the Jets win this week. So if the Jets lose next week, you will have to do whatever you land on and show us either via tape, video, or photo.
I'm
Like,
in.
don't do like Marnie, because Judge Marnie, she forgot.
Forgot.
She's hard too, right? She's like, I'm gonna get tattooed.
The long teardrop.
Yeah, long teardrop. So
what one size? She's like, I'm down. I'm like, what?
Down. And they didn't show up to show out with it. So you ready?
I'm ready.
Ready? Let's go. There it is.
Round she goes. She stops. Nobody knows. Well, we can't see it, but let's see.
Is that to give money or food to a homeless person or charity?
All right. Okay.
All right. That's doable. That's a Christmassy. Yeah.
Yes. Huh? That is beautiful.
Well, look, you can start off by giving me some money.
Send me your cash out, Ken.
Yeah, right.
Oh, hey, go ahead. He gonna give you money for being on the show, Ken. That's messed up, Ken.
Let's get it over with. I could cash out Ken right now.
Yeah, whoa.
No, but so the Jets gonna win though, right?
Oh,
so,
yeah. They're gonna.
So Ken have to give you money.
Wait a second. Yeah, yeah.
No.
But, so Ken's on the other side.
I could give him some IOUs and some memories of what I used to have.
So that's only if the Jets lose.
If the Jets win. Yeah, no, the Jets lose. I'm sorry.
He doesn't have to do anything.
You don't have to do anything.
Okay.
If the Jets lose, he has to take a picture of yourself, and make sure it's okay with that homeless person so it don't come across wrong, but or to a charity and just donate Cash App or something.
And that's Judge Ken Harvey Foundation.com.
All right. We'll talk about it at the end, but yeah. I do have a charity that I work.
Well, I'm gonna throw it back to Judge Marnie because I'm monopolized her time. So, Judge Marnie, take it away.
Thank you. It's okay because football really is family. All right. So, Patrick, though, you were saying right as we were taking a break, what you really liked about special teams. Share with our audience that because I think people will really be interested in hearing from you about that.
Oh yeah, I was just going into so. A little backdrop. I was really highly recruited out of high school, and so I ended up going to USC. And like there, it's competition. Pete Carroll doesn't mess around. It's competition. It's protecting the ball and protecting the team. Mm-hmm. And in high school, I was a long snapper as well as receiver, and then I would return punts, return kicks every now and then, and. What was surprising, I didn't play too many snaps on special teams in college. The receivers, they were just,
prima donnas.
Yeah. sometimes receivers can be prima donnas, don't want to, get too dirty on a special team. And they kind of look down on special teams at times sometimes. And I played a little bit of special teams in college, not a ton. I returned a little bit due to injury. And but what was surprising about the NFL was how much I enjoy special teams once getting over that hump. And I was on kickoff return. I would punt block at times. And but it was something about that opening kickoff or that opening kickoff return. It's nothing like that. And blocking for your guys. It was back then I was blocking for Joe McKnight. And we went to USC together, and it was back when you could form the wedge. So I would form a wedge with Rob Turner, and then we would go head hunt, or you'd drop quick and go get a someone
blindside. Ken,
yep, you know.
I've had that happen to me.
Sometimes you swing around and come get the L3 or L4, L5 if they're a problem, you know. It'll probably stop the momentum. But I was surprised. I was playing with under Mike Westhoff in New York, and I really enjoyed playing special teams, and I took it serious, and, you know, I took pride in that, and I was surprised how much I enjoyed playing special team. I wish I played long snapper.
You would be a good
still be playing.
I just did a speech off of teamwork, and you need people on teams that enjoy their position, even though it may not be the most glamorous position. Mm-hmm. They appreciate the fact that they're in that position to do something. Sure. And you say you did it for your teammates and just to be good at something. So that's really cool. That's commendable.
And think about it, Ken Harvey, he didn't like, don't tell nobody, but he didn't like special teams. You know, he didn't do that stuff. He was a hybrid linebacker, you know.
But what happened was
superstar.
He's superstar.
I was on punt team, so you're running down 40 yards. Mm-hmm. You gotta line up and play defense, and then they throw in two or three and you're running. We did it one game and they punted. It was a flag. They had to call it back. We had to do it again. The coach was like, get back out there. You're on defense. I'm like,
Ken, just show up in shape, man. I don't want to hear that. You're the Black Adam. Let's go.
Hey, morning.
I know. Well, this is That's the best part of it is that there's, you know, that the way that I think that everybody can communicate with one another. I love hearing kind of a little bit of the teasing, and it's all in fun because you guys all know what you gave to the team and what you gave to the fans. And that's something that most people do not have that experience. So I love hearing, you know, I love hearing about it all. And I love even seeing the three of you guys just kind of banter back and forth with one another about, you know, what it's like to be on the field, being, you know, special teams or liking it or not. Yeah.
Well, let me throw this out real quick because we are having a good time, but we haven't, I guess this is the way it goes when your team is 4-10 and 5-9. We haven't really even talked about the game. So just as a quick summary, who do we think will win this game? I guess being a Jets fan, a player, former Jets player, you don't have to side either way. It's who do you mm-hmm. think is going to win the game? And judges, you want to go first and then leave our guest to last? Or you want our guest to go first? And, yeah, what do you want to do?
Hey, I go first since I'm one of the judges. I'm not going to, you know, we already know where I'm a long-suffering Jet legend and player and fan. But anyway, the Jets are favored, I think, this week. Huh?
They are.
Yeah, they're favored. And the Jets have a strong, strong defense. Mm-hmm.
But they have a bad offense. They're probably the one of the worst offense, and we have one of the worst defenses.
Hey, Judge Martin, can I have this? He asked me to give my, right?
Go for it.
So, since you said all that, y'all have a bad offense? Yeah, you said y'all have a bad offense, Ken? That was the Commanders have, right?
I'm not saying anything else.
Bad defense.
And a bad defense?
You got a bad defense. We're 32, ranked 32.
So home field advantage for the Washington Commanders. No, they play in New York, New Jersey. So home field advantage for the Jets. And I think the Jets will win this one. It may not be a high-scoring game. Special teams may play a key role in the victory for the Jets this weekend.
Judge Marnie.
I have picked the Commanders a lot this season to win, but I think that the Jets are going to win this game. They have a little bit more in their tank left than it seems like the Commanders do. So I'm and a lot more that is on the line with Aaron Rodgers standing there. It's kind of like, it's a little scary. You don't want to make a mistake with Aaron Rodgers there. I think that they all know they've got to prove themselves. And if they want to make the roster for next year and play with Aaron, because that sounds like fun.
One question for Marnie, or I should say, is he going to be active this week just to be in uniform, or this week after next, a couple weeks from now? I heard that story that he may be in uniform on the sideline just as a third down, third quarterback. If some situations happen, he can get in the game. I just heard that. So
Well, here's a question. I mean, everybody says that the field at the stadium is really rough. Is that something that he would want to have his first game back in uniform at MetLife Field with that turf? Because
but he's just going through practice, been... though. He's just going through pregame. Okay.
All right.
You're not expected to get in the game, you know.
Okay. So,
okay. Well, let me throw this out. I normally go with the Commanders as well. You got the number, the probably one of the worst defenses going against one of the worst offenses. The question mark maybe is who they start at quarterback, the Commanders, who they start as quarterback. They had Jacoby Brissett come in, and he looked pretty good. And he utilized Terry McLaurin. I think he could do well on offense if they have him in the game. And I'm not saying anything against Sam Howell. I think Sam Howell's a great quarterback that's been beat up a lot. But I think, you know, anytime you have a new guy coming in that you think can be a boost to the team, then that can help a team win. So I'm going to go with the Commanders on this one again. And plus
they don't have any film on them, right? So they got
a little bit of film, but yeah, I think
not enough.
Not enough, and I think he's a spark. Like, you know, McLaurin is a beast, and they haven't been utilizing him enough. And I think they'll utilize him a lot more. That's his favorite guy. It could be, you know, if they double him, then they'll open up somebody else. So he may be the guy. Patrick, sir,
I have to side with the Jets.
You have to
with the Jets. My only thing is who's the healthier team? You know who's healthier on paper.
I think we're healthier. We may be
healthier. Just got a good defense.
Yeah, that defense is hard to deny.
Jets got a legit defense.
That's what kind of tilts it over to the Jets for me. That defense, D line, and I like their secondary.
Yeah, that could be a big difference.
I hope the receiver has a big game.
So regardless of then whatever happens, you will if the team loses. Then you're going to do some good in the community somewhere, and wherever you're at, and you're going to give to a charity or to a homeless person, and everybody wins. So I think that's the end of the show. You know, it's Judge Marnie. Thank you for getting Patrick on the show.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you guys for having me. Sincerely.
You've done amazing job. And you know, it's kind of sad. It's like, as you get to the end of the season, if your team is not close to being in the playoffs or knocked out of the playoffs, then you kind of represent the team. You try to have fun, try to point out the positives. And mm-hmm. all of us judges know we're interviewing for next year to make sure we still have a job.
Right, and I think I love to see Patrick Turner on the football field again, Ken, at Audi Field. So let's work on getting him to Audi Field some kind of way.
Can you still run, Patrick?
Oh, not like that. I thought he was talking about in a coaching sense.
No, like flag football. We do a congressional football game, and we need some big guys out there, man.
I have slow starts to the morning.
Like we all do.
I think I'm older.
But the game is in the evening time.
But yes. How often you all use a heating pad?
Dude, I sleep in the heating pad.
I know what you mean.
I often. Anyhow, hey, thanks for being on the show again.
Yes, thanks. Thank you guys for having us.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, Patrick.
And much success to you. Well, tell us about what you're doing now.
Yeah, real quick.
Oh, well, I've been, you know, working out with kids. I've been talking to kids and then also trading equities. Mm-hmm. And outside of that, I have some real estate in California. I live in Tennessee now. But right after ball, I got into, I was coaching flag football, mm-hmm. Real estate right after. And that was 2013.
That's awesome.
So how can they get in? How can people get in contact with you if they want to learn more about you or with your kids and your business?
Oh, if they like to, they could contact me through the show. They like to get in contact with Marnie, and they could reach me. I'm here. Hey, I'm in Tennessee.
It's great giving back to the youth. There's so many issues in the world, and people need good mentors. So congratulations on all that you do, and we appreciate it.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. I would like to say one thing before we're done also.
Okay.
So Ken and John, as we approach the holidays, and Patrick, you know, thank you. This is such a, I love being part of this alumni group through the National Football League. And we all come from different places, and yet we all have similar stories, and we all love to give back. And that's something that's so unique and just so special to professional athletes or people that are involved in sports. And I know Patrick does it. John, I know you do it. Ken, you guys, I mean, are amazing with the heavy lifting of giving back. So I just want to say thank you, because it really does make me emotional. And I'm grateful for the friendships. I mean, Patrick and I have been friends for a long time, and so it's something that we all speak the same language, and thank you. Yeah. Mwah. I love you guys. Thank you.
Morning. You sure you with the morning. Eagles? You sure you support
they're all bluff. You know how that goes.
I'm thinking that Kim was going to start singing Heal the World by Michael Jackson and USA for Africa. I thought Marty going to start saying We Are the World. What the?
Yeah.
Anyhow. All right, pal. Peace. Life. We're out of here.
Peace. Thank you, guys. Peace.
All right. You guys. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.